Coming up on Patriots This Week. For 30 minutes, they were squished by the fish.
Things weren't going well in the first half.
But football is a 60-minute game, and a dominant second half sealed the victory.
You start slow and you just try to grind it out.
This team is very mentally tough.
And with the Steelers coming to town, these tough guys celebrate Halloween.
I actually was the Cowardly Lion in our elementary school play. I could sing the whole song. Oh, no.
So let's get this party started on Patriots This Week.
The Miami Dolphins outrushed the Patriots. The Miami Dolphins outpassed the Patriots. But the Miami Dolphins obviously couldn't outscore the Patriots. Patriots shake off a woeful first half and have one heck of a second half. They dominated. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What's up, Wiggy?
What up, Zo?
No fist bump this week.
Fist bump.
Former linebacker Matt Chatham, almost said tight end again.
That's right.
You look like a tight end now. You lost some weight. Guys, you look at this game against a divisional opponent. We sat here last week. We talked about how tough it is to play divisional teams. That first half, though, offensively, a lot of woes. I think there's issues with Tom Brady's hands, or at least was an issue with Tom Brady's hands. Wiggy, end of the day, ends up 13 for 22 at the half. He was 6 of 8 for 25 yards. What'd you make of the first half?
Well, I'm glad they played 60 minutes. I noticed that because when you look at this Patriots team, to me, the first half, it just seemed like they couldn't get the passing game on the same page. You know, I've said this before. The running game is underutilized for whatever reason. They seem like they don't want to use it as much as they should use it, and they don't want to use Ridley in that fact of the matter. I think when you kind of look at this Patriots offense and this team.
So they're two series to series for you, meaning that almost like they separate eight different games.
Exactly. To me, I would rather you give Ridley the ball 15 to 18 times and let him be your guy. But when you look at just how they played in the first half, it was just a lot of the word we've talked about, inconsistency.
Matt.
Yeah, you stole my word right at the end there. It's inconsistency. But I think they found their groove. I thought Josh McDaniels' play calling groove kind of hit there in the third quarter. But it is certainly this period of time through the first maybe half of the season here where we're trying to find an identity. I think they're still looking for what plays work best for what guys and what combinations work best for which guys. Blunt is a good rusher. He does really good things for them, but more situationally. And you can't do stretch plays. He's not Terrell Davis, although those were some of those early play calls. Stretch and wait and hit. It's not his cut. That would be more of a Ridley play. But you find them sort of finding what they are, but they didn't find it in this particular game until the third quarter. And by then, you hope week to week it's not a two-score deficit.
Let's go back to Ridley here. 20 snaps out of 60 for him. Think something was going on there disciplinary-wise?
I don't know. I do wonder if there's more to the story. It might just be practice reps and just
there's
not liking how they're
looking. Drop the ball in practice.
Yeah, it could be a fumble. Could be game planning. Could be he passed pros poorly in practice, and they just don't feel comfortable in that. But it was a pretty definitive role thing. Is Blunt was your run guy. Bolden's your hurry-up plays and passing down plays. Ridley should be the guy that can do both of them, and I think that's what makes him valuable, and he's just got that little bit more explosiveness to us. But I do agree, Zo, there's probably...
There's clearly an issue.
Who's your number one back?
Ridley. Ridley.
Even
Ridley.
With Vereen, when
Ridley
comes back.
Ridley is my number one back. Even with Vereen's back.
I think there's some order there.
But Zo, like you hit the nail right on the head. We don't know what it is, but there's clearly an issue there, whether it's an injury, whether it's being in the doghouse. There's something going on because... When you look at how he runs the ball at times, he's too good of a player to be basically sitting out for the first quarter, second quarter, first half, whatever it is. He's the guy that should be starting week in and week out.
The big thing is, this team's 6-2.
Yep.
I think they've dealt really well with the adversity of having guys go down. Danny Amendola was going to be a big part of this plan, but he's had some injuries. Gronk wasn't there when they thought he might be there. There's been a lot of working with a young group of other guys. Offensive line hasn't played steadily. There's a lot of issues. But the important thing is when you're talking about what the record is now, it's that they survived those issues, and they now have an opportunity to get better. That's what the NFL is all about.
You're in the mid-20s in sacks.
Yeah.
Sebastian Vollmer goes down. How do they replace him?
Well, I think they're going to have to go. I think they have to going to go with Cannon, but I think when you look at it, it's a combination of what the offensive line is doing and then obviously guys getting open because at times you'll see Brady have plenty of time, nice pass protection, and guys just not getting open. But then the other times, I think the good thing about the offensive line is you don't really see a lot of mental error sacks. You see a lot of guys just getting beat. Logan Mack, for example, got beat twice, and that's something that you don't expect to see out of a guy like him. And those, I think, are things that you can say, you know, we can fix those things. Physical, where a guy gets beat physically. I think it's the mental errors as far as the offensive line is when you start to wonder a little bit.
What did they do differently after halftime? They started to blitz more. Brought Logan Ryan in off that slot corner, got Marquise Cole out of there. That's the only thing I thought that they did differently.
No, biggest issue, biggest change, and this was pretty cool because of the transaction that happened last week with Bryant McKinney. They bring in a 350-pound tackle, 6'8" guy, and he's playing left tackle for them. That Chandler Jones has been really good this year, and we've been talking all year about how great he is at 255 to 260 pounds, playing a five technique, playing a real defensive end in a 3-4. What happened was science took over a little bit. He's too heavy. It's 100 pounds. So they got mauled a little bit at that position, and Jamie Collins isn't the stoutest guy at outside linebacker there. The change they made is they allowed Chandler to stand up and be the outside linebacker now, and Andre Carter got reps at that defensive end spot. So they got a little stouter at that point, and I thought that was schematic. But you're right with the blitzes. They pressured more, but that little move, coupled with this new move now with the nose that they signed, that allows them to have a heavier guy at nose, so your Chris Jones and Volanos can be the end, so Chandler can stay out. Linebacker and Rob Kim. The point is, science took over. Rob Chandler's done a great job when it's a 310, 320 pound tackle. At some point, physics just become too much of a
Isaac
thing.
Isaac Sapawoga.
Yeah,
so that's the 320 pounder. The guy's been in the league for a while. All right, what'd you make of Gronkowski? Your guy. Give me the Gronkowski update. He looked good going down the middle where he got the big Mickey Mouse hands up to snare the holding call back, that phantom holding call. But
well, there was
another week. Looks like he's got his leg.
There's another week of is he's starting to knock that rust off. There was another play deep down the field where he almost came down with it with three guys. It hit him right in the hands. Yep. Almost makes a great catch, but we've seen the touchdown callback. I think you're starting to see Gronk now kind of get back into it. And another thing that we've seen, and I think I might have heard you talk about it on the broadcast.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I know. I listen when I'm driving. Is that Brady is not always looking at Gronk as his first read. Sometimes he's looking other places.
Well, after the second play, but yeah.
Sometimes he's looking other places and then coming back to Gronkowski. And everybody talked about, well, Brady's targeting Gronkowski 17 times. Oh. But a lot of the times he's looking at other places. Guys are not open. And now he's saying, you know what? I'll go to my guy who I feel like is a security blanket. I'll throw it up there at times. And there are times that Gronk's got to do a better job of coming downhill on his route, getting back down so he doesn't let guys undercut him. But it's, you know, that's Russ knocking that off.
The nice thing that happens is when you practice plays, situational coaching, you practice things over and over, and then you get into the game, it becomes natural to you. Let's talk about the tip drill play real quick. And you guys have been there. I remember throwing them up. You guys remember running down, tipping it up, where McCourty controls the football in, and Marquise Cole, his ability to tiptoe down the line of scrimmage. Matt, I mean, they practice that stuff, right?
They do. And first and most important part I can't leave out is the pass rush by Rob Ninkovich on that play. He beats Jonathan Martin badly, disrupts the throw of Tannehill, makes Tannehill go to what was a double. They had McCourty had cheated over the top of Wallace there.
So put the ball a little short, too. Yeah.
Luckily,
Cole stopped and got beat on the play.
The point is it affected him. But the idea that, yes, you guys know that this happens in practice. It's always a joking around thing. They'll practice it. It's communication. Yeah. You're going to have to hear the other guy involved. You never see it actually happen live. That was a pretty cool deal.
All right, guys, coming up next, tantrums around the National Football League. Does it ever hurt the team when a player acts the way Dez Bryant did? That and more when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Logan Ryan. The rookie third rounder from Rutgers has been making an impact in the defensive backfield. A week after a pick six against the New York Jets, the 5'11", 195-pound Ryan turned the tide against the Dolphins. The 22-year-old strip sack of Ryan Tannehill led to the game-tying touchdown. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And former Patriot Brandon Merriweather, who now plays for the Washington Redskins, finished his one-game suspension for an illegal hit, but yet was pretty vocal after the game, saying that he's going to hit differently, guys, that he's no longer going to target the torso, that he's going to go low, he's going to go for the knees. Is Brandon Merriweather right or wrong in his response to the way he's going
to
play?
You have to put aside your own biases about what you feel about the guy and just listen to what he said, and what he said is 1,000% true. This is not news either. This is the slow-moving train that you should have seen on the horizon. Oh, no. I mean, like, of course they're going to go low.
Merriweather in his meeting said that they mentioned defenseless running back, and he said, I have never heard anything. It's ludicrous. I think these rules and the way they're protecting guys, I think it's going overboard here.
Yeah, you're
going
to take a high-tier thing. Yeah.
I would rather a guy hit me, like, here than a guy hit me in
the rather get hit? Wouldn't you rather get hit in the back of the helmet than get
yeah,
hit?
I wouldn't want my knees taken out. But, see, like, I've never really played defense, and when there was an interception, it was like, all right, I don't want to tackle this guy, so I was jumping on his back. I just always figured, like, isn't there a way that you can target a certain area without getting to the helmet or without getting to the knees and just kind of be right around the midsection? I understand what he's saying.
I think the problem is with human beings is they move. Yeah. That section looks like but it moves, and that's the point. So to be sure and to be safe, you go there, and that's what you ask for.
Stay off my knees is what I'm
saying. Well, knees don't have helmets. That's the issue.
Stay off your knees. A team that does have helmets, they got a big star on the side, the Dallas Cowboys, who I think they think are America's team. And, you know, obviously they're not 6-2. They got this receiver by the name of Dez Bryant, who pulled 3 wiggies during that game. No wiggy, no Jermaine wiggies, but he wigged out. Well, the Cowboys and NFL Films released the pep talk, the quote-unquote pep talk between Dez Bryant, where the hands are out and he's in Romo's face, and it was out of competition. What if they released the stuff where he's talking to Witten on asylum, where you could tell Witten, Matt, was not giving him a little bit of a pep talk. He was trying to check him and get him down.
As soon as you saw the broadcast go to a replay of this, I'm thinking, oh, no, we're going to have to talk about this stupid story.
But that's what we're doing. There was an issue with him and Jason Witten.
Even prior to that, Megatron.
I don't have a problem.
It's not you versus Megatron.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Dez Bryant going off on the sideline. I've been in that situation before. I understand that two players going at it, emotions, part of the game. But I noticed that when you do have conflict with your teammates, most of the time you can kind of put it under the water, under the bridge. But there are times, especially if you're that kind of guy, where the guy's going to say, this guy does Brian, he's kind of a clown here, you know. And that can bring some dissension in the locker room. It could split a locker room.
That's a bad loss for Dallas.
Oh, horrendous.
There's nothing better than seeing a Dallas loss and see that owner on the sideline. Nice job, guys, on the 40-yard line. Yeah. Here he is next to the head coach, and he's the first guy
saying that,
taking questions in the post-game locker room.
Saying, hey, Dez Bryant, that's boy, nothing. Jerry. There's nothing going on there. That's emotion. He's a passionate guy.
All right, guys, good stuff. Coming up next, we get into Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are having what we call, I guess, a rather down year. That's next on Patriots History. One thing that's been constant for the Pittsburgh Steelers over the years is their defensive front. Not only the front, but the secondary. Let's go to the tape. Dick LeBeau coaches the team. This is Troy Polamalu, number 43. Got to find out where this guy is at all times, especially if I'm a receiver, because he'll knock your block off. I want you to freeze the tape right there. Here's what Polamalu does so well. Times up the snap count to try and jump that A-gap. That's the gap right there between the center and the guard. So Brady's got to hold the snap count easy, easy, easy. Extend it. And here's where Polamalu is really good. Freeze it right there. I mean, he's on, this right side of the field. The sweep is going to go this way, and he's going to end up making that tackle over there. Go ahead and roll the tape. So his ability to read the formation, you see the quick screen right there, read, react, get to the game. We've seen Tom Brady with Ed Reed over the years with the Baltimore Ravens. We got another big one at 4:30 on Sunday. Tom Brady versus Troy Polamalu. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And the Pittsburgh Steelers come to town. And guys, they start the season 0-4. But now they come to town with a 2-5 record. 1-2 in a row, but a really bad loss last week in Oakland, where Terrell Pryor, how against a Dick LeBeau defense? And Matt, you know these Dick LeBeau defenses. It's read, it's react, it's a fast active front seven. How's a guy like Terrell Pryor go 93 yards on a read option?
Well, the one component you do have in those defenses is they're a little bit aggressive and they'll take chances. And I think we know that with Polamalu. I'm not in that particular play. I don't think he was involved. But the idea that it's more based on confusion not an overload as far as numbers of who's coming, but from which direction and which guy it is.
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think Matt brought up a good point. The one thing that they've tried, they want to do is pre-snap confusion. And when they're not doing that, that's when they kind of suffer a little bit defensively. Offensively, they've really struggled. They haven't been able to protect Ben Roethlisberger. But you got to be careful with this Pittsburgh Steelers team because it's one of those teams that every time they play against the New England Patriots, they're going to come and they're going to give it their best shot.
Matt, they got enough weapons where Roethlisberger, if he keeps plays alive with his legs, can put the ball downfield.
Yeah, this is one of those weeks where you see the record, you see a bunch of bad performances. They're only scoring like 17 points a game, which
is crazy. And
they're throwing
it 70% of the time.
Yeah, they don't want that from Roethlisberger. He's a creative guy. Yeah. He stays alive at the end of plays, but do you want him in the gun for seven? No, I don't think so. They want to establish a run, and they have the new running back Bell who's solid, but I think they would they'd be much better served to have hit on some of these offensive linemen they missed on. Plus, they have injuries. Give them that as well.
But I think in the back of these Patriots players' minds and coaches, it's still a franchise in Pittsburgh that's well-coached, that have enough grizzled veterans that, you know, in a tight game, third quarter, fourth quarter, with a fan base that travels well, that Pittsburgh wants to keep this game tight until the fourth quarter, and hopefully the Patriots make a mistake on their part.
They got a very good head coach who's not going to kind of crumble in a certain position. They got a good quarterback, and at times Roethlisberger will gamble and make mistakes, but it seems like when it gets to crunch time, that's when he's at his best, and that's when he's one of those guys that makes plays with his legs, and, you know, they're not like these flashy plays, but they extend the passing play. And if you look at what the Patriots need to do, they have to realize and say, okay, we know how they're going to play us. They're going to be tough. It's going to be a grind-it-out. We're now a grind-it-out football team, and we know that if we get into that situation, we got to make sure that we do everything we need to do to win this football game.
This is the stretch of weeks, like we talked about the stretch of weeks prior where it was so important to have Talib because they had very specific tall receiver matchups. Sure. This is very specific in these 3 weeks where you had Tannehill, you had Geno Smith, and you have Roethlisberger. Everything is predicated on not having him have the stay-alive creative plays and easy lanes.
But they got to get there with a group of guys. That's the key.
This is true, but you cannot give running lanes. You cannot be upfield past the quarterback. You cannot have pocket protection breaks. That's the biggest issue.
All right, hold those thoughts, guys, because when we come back on Patriots This Week, we give our predictions and our game changer. That's all next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Time for this week's Fantasy Lowdown. I'm Brian Lowe. The guy to start this week is Chiefs QB Alex Smith. He's no fantasy stud, but in Week 9, against a Bills team allowing the most passing TDs in the NFL, Smith is rock solid. The guy to sit is Vincent Jackson at Seattle. He's on a roll, but it's a brutal spot for Jackson and the Bucs offense. And our sleeper, old pal Danny Woodhead. He's a do-it-all threat for the Chargers, and he'll do plenty against Washington.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. It's time now for our predictions and our game changer. That one single player that's going to go above and beyond what anybody think he's going to do this week. Matt, let's start with you. Prediction and game changer.
My prediction, I'm going to go Patriots 30-20. I just kind of like that score, and it did well for me last week. That 10-point gap has been nice. I'm going to go with Aaron Dobson as my game changer.
And a nice game next last week.
I liked that he was the very first play. Once I had the really bad first half, there was a design play for him on the very first snap of the game, and he dropped it. But I think it's important to continue to involve him, keep the receivers involved. It's not just all about Gronk in the running game. Keep everyone involved. They're better off.
All right, Wiggy.
Yeah, it's simple. My game changer is simple. In order for Dobson to get the ball, it's Tom Brady. I feel like Brady's going to have that big game. I like the Patriots in this one. 28-21, Brady. It's time to go.
All right, Wiggy, I love your prediction right there. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going 26-24 Patriots in a nail biter, and I'm also going to have your game changer, Tom Brady. And it's not going to be about stats. He may be 50%, but let's remember, this football team's 6-2. His number one goal on Sunday is to get this team to 7-2, and it's about putting them in the right position, the right play, whether it's run, whether it's pass, and his ability to control the snap count with Troy Polamalu. They're going to take chances. They're going to try and blitz and get to Tom Brady. It's up to Brady to control tempo in this game. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. Join us next time on Patriots This Week.
Pats trailing by 14, 17, 3, 8:39 to go in the third. Empty backfield. Trips to the right, including Gronkowski. Stand up tight end right. Collie in the slot right. Amendola slot left. Brady pumps under pressure. Hit as he releases. Deep to the end zone left side. Catch is made. Touchdown for Aaron Dobson.